Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We know how that ends. Like, clearly, we're five seasons deep into Yellowstone now with Dutton's at the helm. Like, you know, if you want to bet on Don Whitfield here, I'm glad to take your money. Hello, Addison.
Hey, Billy. I'm in good spirits because I actually really enjoyed this last episode, or this finale, of 1923. I'm excited to get into it.
A little bittersweet, Addison, because I think we're nearing the end of like this season of the podcast. I think next week we'll do maybe a recap or a grading 1923 episode, but then we'll probably take a break for a bit unless a new show starts quickly or there's some big news to report on.
What are you going to do without talking to me every Monday?
Well, we'll still talk. We do a lot of other things.
It's not the same, Billy. It's not the same. I don't know. I guess you're over here going, praise the Lord above. I don't have to see Addison's face every day. I mean, every Monday. I get it, Billy. I can take the hint. It's fine.
That's not what I said it was. I was the one that said it was bittersweet. You're projecting.
You're right. You're right. Maybe we need to dive into that later. Well, before we get into 1923... and the confusing lineage that we are going to talk about a little bit later. I can't even remember. What was trivia from last week? What was the question?
Last week's is going to be the final trivia, so no new trivia question this week, if only because we don't have new episodes after what we just watched. So I will just kind of bring a resolution to last week's, and then we'll carry on and bring back trivia for season three. But the question was, it had to do with Spencer and Alex coming upon her fiancé and their family while they were in Italy. And the question was about how far they traveled to find them there. That happened, like the Stance meeting. Where did Spencer and Alex first meet? What city or country were they in when they first met? And the reason I asked that was just to show how impractical it was that they would meet in this cafe in Italy, because they were 5,000 miles away in Nairobi, Kenya, when they first met.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
No one else did either. So,
wait, actually, seriously?
No winners. Seriously? Yeah, no winners this week. One Tanzania guess, a couple of others scattered about, but I'm sorry. No positive, no words of affirmation to be doled out in this episode.
Dang, I'm really surprised right now.
Huh. Just play like, the sad like... music.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. All right. Well, on that note, where should we begin? Should we begin with what couple, I guess, maybe, are you itching to talk about first? We're going to save...
Well,
I say we save Spencer and Alex for like, they'll be point two.
No, come on.
Oh, you want to go point one? There's so much. Okay, fine.
Here's the point I want to make. It's interesting about season one of 1923 is we were promised the show about the Montana Ranch and the Duttons and how depression and prohibition has affected America. And we got a little of that. But season one was the Alex and Spencer show. Like, this was more a show about Africa and life as a hunter and travelers and this great romance. Like, they stole the dang show, in my opinion. So while I still loved the ranch and stuff, like, this was Brendan Sklenner and Julia Schlepfer. It was their program. And that was the reason I think I tuned in with excitement week to week. So I'm always excited to talk about them first.
Yeah, I also really, and that's something I personally liked 1923 better than I liked 18 83. And I kind of was thinking through, okay, why? They're the same type of vibe, like why? And I think that was it for me. It was a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit more, like I loved watching. I mean, first off, two good-looking people, like it's not hard to watch them in general. And yeah, it really was the Julia and Brandon show. And I am kind of curious. I'm like, does the rest of the cast feel a little bit gypped? Like, does Michelle Randolph, I mean, she was, you know, a young love as well, and she was not the main star. She still ate at the table, but wasn't the main reason.
No, you're right. And well, Jack wasn't nearly as compelling of a character, I don't feel like. And there just wasn't as much that happened in Montana as there was. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of kind of slow passing of the seasons in Montana, where every episode, Spencer and Allison were battling lions. They're on a tugboat. She ran away with them. I mean, every episode was this new romantic adventure that you could kind of just, like, you just kept you talking about it.
We've got to just dive into, I don't even know how, we just got to rip the bandaid off on the boat scene where they get on the boat and they realize ex-fiance Bay is also going to be getting on the boat as well, which, Billy, I don't know about you, but it makes me really, it made me chuckle of, you know, here's Alex getting clearly very flustered by the fact that Arthur is getting on the boat. And I'm sitting here going, homegirl, you've run from a leopard. You have like escaped death of potential drowning. Like, there are so many bigger things here. And you are concerned about your ex-fiance currently? Like, what?
Yeah. Well, nothing makes someone shrivel like seeing an ex-love, I guess. Did you feel a little bit gypped that we didn't get to see a resolution from the cafe soon? Like, we didn't get to see that uncomfortable talk? Oh, really? I did. No. I wanted to see what happened there.
Well, because we essentially got it with the dinner scene.
Well, I suppose we eventually did and made up for it, but let's reset the scene here. So they get on the boat, and they decide at first they're just going to live in their quarters for 3 weeks. And they kind of decide that's impractical because Alex is having a little bit of a sickness in the morning. I'm not going to say morning sickness per se, because we don't know what's going on with her, but she is feeling ill, so she needs to go above board. And that's when she runs into her best friend. And slowly they decide that they're going to come out of their shell and go have dinner in the palace ballroom that evening.
You know, before we get to the palace ballroom, I'm just going to address the elephant in the room, Billy. I kindly say that you were wrong about the fact. You were diehard of the fact that you felt like we were going to see a very preggers.
You don't think Alex. She's pregnant?
No. I'm not saying that she's not pregnant. But in our previous videos, you had said, you know, her face looks full. And I realized that that was more so just a camera angle, unfortunately, that we weren't. I was under the impression that we were going to get to this episode and she was going to be very pregnant. I do think. Oh, go ahead.
I read the room incorrectly. I thought they were back in Montana. Her face did look a little bit full, but, you know, I made the classic male mistake about thinking a woman is pregnant, you know, before, like, basically the baby's being delivered.
Yeah.
My like, bad to fictitious Alex on that one.
Well, here is why I do think that she is pregnant. Yes, to your point of she's dealing with this quote-unquote seasickness that I'm like, you know, you were on a tugboat and I feel like you would feel seasickness more and you never mentioned anything about being seasick. Right. So that was red flag number one. And then red flag number two was when Jennifer, her friend, came up to her and realized that she was on the boat. And Alex had said, the only family I'm worried about is the one I'm starting. Now, yes, we could infer that that means she's excited to start family, aka meaning Spencer. But I took that as she's pregnant and she's looking forward to the family that she's going to be growing, aka adding a kid to the family.
In fairness, I said she was glowing. I don't know that I said she looked fuller. I did dance around. And she was glowing, but she wasn't glowing in quite the same way throughout this episode. So
that is true. I will take back my, you did say that she was glowing. I took that and ran with it. No one emails Staff at Taste of Country with hate comments.
I didn't see if she was drinking, though, during the dinner, because we pretty quickly got caught up in some other things. Mostly that there was a duel. And that was, I mean, anytime, I love when people slap people with gloves because it's the most old-timey thing in the world to do. And it's just hilarious. But like an old-fashioned duel to the death, presumably for Alex's heart.
I don't even know if it was for Alex's heart. I just feel like it was for just that Arthur could prove that he's the better man. Like, I don't know if he was ultimately wanting her back. At least in my head.
That didn't work out for him.
Let's just, like, not only did it not work out for him, and I'll let you paint the scene there, but what I found funny, Billy, was the fact that I'm like, do people, boat crew, I don't know, what you would term, like, who gave Spencer his sword, but in my head I'm laughing going, do we just have swords laying around on this boat so we can just, are duels common that, you know, you're just gonna hand over a sword and huzzah, you know, like, what is this normal? But I did laugh where, you know, after Spencer tells Arthur's father, you know, I kill for a living, which genuinely made me cackle. I was like, let's stitch that on a pillow. But that Arthur really still thought, like, all right, I'm going to take this guy down.
The only reason maybe that they got away with that to the extent that they did is because, as it turns out, Arthur's family is pretty prestigious British royalty. And we'll break that down in a moment. But what happens is the challenge is made. Arthur chooses swords. Spencer has never handled a sword in his life. And pretty quickly, he just overpowers him because he's like a foot taller and 80 pounds heavier and 10 times the man that Arthur is. And he whoops his butt. Frustrated, Arthur pulls a gun and comes at Spencer. Instead of shooting him from a distance, Spencer grabs his arm and chucks him overboard into the freezing water, presumably to be killed. And that gets Spencer arrested because no one will come to Spencer's defense and tell people that it was self-defense, which it really was. And until finally the very end, the one friend you referred to, was her name Jennifer?
I thought so, okay. But maybe I should not be quoted on that.
Well, she steps up finally, and Spencer and Alex end up being clear of charges. And even the kid's dad, Arthur, ends up kind of being much cooler about the whole situation than I think I would be had my son just lost in a battle like that.
I'm sorry. He's the one who had Spencer arrested. Like, how else do you think he'd react?
He could have kept him in the brig, I feel like. He understood his son was behaving poorly and rash and tried to talk him out at every turn and even says to him, she doesn't love you, son. You're better off without her. Like, he's keeping a very calm head, which I would not expect from someone, who's got a lot of pride. He's part of the British monarchy.
I'm going to let you take that. I don't know if I fully agree with it. We'll just let that lie.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. So what ends up happening is that Spencer is taken ashore by a dinghy. Alex is forced to stay behind because they don't believe that they were married properly. So Alex is screaming out, I'll meet you in Bozeman, while Spencer is being dinghied away. And then the credits roll and we get a huge
Such
cliffhanger.
A good scene.
To end season one. Yeah, it was good, but I couldn't get past the royalty names and Alex's secret, I guess.
Well, and yes, let's back up real quick. So when I'm calling him his actual name, when Spencer is taken to see the ship captain, he says, you know, my wife Alex, and you know, we're married, and the captain corrects him and says, you mean the Countess of Sussex. And that's when he looks over at her friend who happens to be there because she's essentially giving a testimony of what she saw. And he looks at her like, I'm sorry, my wife is pretty much, you know, this moment of, am I hearing that correctly? And she confirms, right. Yes, Countess of Sussex. And this is when we learn, which I love that we saved this till the very end. Like, you could tell that she was wealthy from the beginning of when she met Spencer. But this is a whole different world that we have stepped into that now we realize, I'm sorry, please hold. She's royalty?
Yeah, she's got money out of her ears. Like, mm-hmm. this is, they are going to be taken care of from here on out as long as she still has a tie to that bank account. How she becomes royalty, though, this is all very confusing. I was instantly curious to find out, like, where she ranks within the royal court. And I didn't know what a countess was. We also find out that Arthur's father is the Earl of Sussex. Here's what I've learned. Basically, it's impossible for the father to be the Earl of Sussex and Alex to be the Countess of Sussex, because a countess, in most cases, is an earl's wife. Oh. And the father's wife is still very much around. She would presumably be the countess. So some sort of error was made there. And the reason we know that the father is the Earl of Sussex is because in that same scene you referred to, the ship captain says that the Earl of Sussex questions the marriage. Arthur is the young boy. He's dead. He's not around to question the marriage. And then we get a scene after Spencer's taken in the dinghy where the ship captain says to the old man, you may question the marriage, but you can't question their commitment or something like
yeah.
that. So he has to be the Earl of Sussex. Alex isn't his wife, so I don't know how she would be the Countess of Sussex. So some kind of scripting error or misspeak was made there. If we want to just kind of pin that for a second and still just kind of believe that Alex is the Countess of Sussex, she could get there one of a few ways. Her father could have been the Earl of Sussex, and she would become the Countess of Sussex once he died if she didn't have any male siblings alive and she was the oldest. Or if she was the daughter of a duke and she married a viscount, which would be the son of an earl, she would become the countess when the father-in-law died, the earl. None of that seems likely in this case, unless she has married previously.
See, I think I got confused in there somewhere because my brain was going down, oh my gosh, are her and Arthur, were they cousins?
Well, that's also possible.
Yeah. Duh. Great. So you just continue to leave me with a major question mark, Billy.
The British royalty are ranked like this. There's, I mean, aside from king and prince, there's duke, and just below that is the marquess, then earl, then viscount, then the baron. The earl's wife is usually the countess. And the reason that is because in other parts of Europe, the earl is known as the count. Count Dracula is the same as an earl. He may also be Earl Dracula or Earl Chocula, if that's what you prefer. And the countess would be his wife. That's how it is in most cases. So how Alexandra is a countess is beyond me. I think we can safely assume she is, because that seems to be a pretty big plot point. So she gets all the sort of the royalty benefits. And maybe the minutia of how she got there isn't important. But it certainly sent me on like an hour to 90 minute long rabbit hole until about midnight last night, trying to pin all this down. And I came up with as many questions as answers.
Not surprised that you rabbit trailed, but yeah, we're still left with answers. And the only thing now I do have a hot take here with the fact that she is, oh, actually I'm going to pause my hot take because we might want to talk about the Dutton Ranch. For people to understand my hot take.
Let me add one other thing. There is a difference, maybe two other things. There is a difference between someone being Earl of Sussex and the Earl of Sussex.
Why?
Why is right? So the Earl of Sussex is the real thing. That's the real deal. You're the heir. But some of the British royals have multiple titles. For example, Prince Harry, who's married to Meghan Markle, he is the Duke of Sussex. But he's also the Earl of Dumbarton. His son can sort of squat on that secondary title, but he would just be Earl of Dumbarton because it's a courtesy title.
All right. Curious,
there is no current Earl of Sussex, as far as I can tell. Yeah, there's a lot of like tones of like Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, like reminders here that as I was kind of fishing this in, I was kind of wondering if that's where Taylor Sheridan's head was at. Like he's really into the royals and he watches The Crown maybe because there's like shadows of that all over this. If you take nothing away, just believe that she is the Countess. It was really confusing and perhaps incorrect on how she got there, but she's bringing a boatload of money over with her to America when and if she actually gets there.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Well, and when she and if she actually gets there, it'll be the question of, is she with child or does she already have a child if she is pregnant?
Yeah, this gets to a whole nother sort of family tree thing that I'm going to stay away from because we learned that the sad news that Elizabeth has indeed, like you predicted, Addison, she has lost her baby. She miscarried. It's not clear if it's because of the bullet she took or if her ability to have kids is totally compromised, but she lost her baby pretty early on in the pregnancy.
I would just like to say I obviously a very tender topic, but I'm proud of myself that I stuck to my roots and my thoughts because sometimes I change my mind on here. And I will say, like, you know, Yellowstone, I was maybe wrong about some theories about Beth here and there. But this one, I was like, nope, Billy's not going to change my mind. I'm going to stick to my gut here. And I was right. I had been calling it from all along that there was she was not going to carry that baby to full term.
Do you think she ends up becoming the mother that leads to the John Duttons that we know today?
So I don't know that necessarily, but I do. I don't know if necessarily this miscarriage is kind of like us Xing her out of having children. Like she can. There is a potential that she could have a child down the line, especially if, I mean, right now we're sitting with this question mark of, you know, Alex could be pregnant. We also don't know if Alex actually makes it to Bozeman, you know, and we're sitting here going, Elizabeth currently, you know, had a miscarriage, but that doesn't mean that she's not going to have a kid. You know, there, you can kind of play both sides of, you know, a potential right. What if there. So I can't answer that. Because I don't necessarily know, but I do think that scene was really powerful in the way that Jack handled it. And he hit at it by pretty much saying, I watched my aunt raise me without having any children. And that doesn't mean that she was any less of a mother, you know, et cetera, just because she couldn't birth her own children. And I think that was a really powerful scene because I don't know if Jack would have reacted that way if he hadn't, you know, when people say, you know, nurture versus nature, I think that was absolutely nurtured a quality in him to be empathetic in that way. And so I just thought that was a really sweet scene for him to kind of, you know, almost express the way that he's raised in his current life.
He showed some real growth there. It had been a little bit of a flat character for Jack, but I think that was maybe his finest moment this season because that was a really sort of tender scene that I don't know necessarily anyone expected from him.
This episode we kind of ran into. We did get, you know, back into the squabble of the Dutton Ranch, and Donald Whitfield paid off the tax that Jacob Dutton had owed, and it was a hefty, we learned that it was a hefty sum, but by doing that, he put almost this tie to Don Whitfield that Jacob did not want.
A bit of an odd tax law. I didn't know that if you, maybe in that time, if you paid someone's property tax, effectively, you're the lien holder for said property. It seems like that would be, create some really cannibalistic business practices, but that seems to be the real deal. Jacob's afraid of that, and he needs some money, so it seems like by the end of the year, which is coming up soon because we're in the fall, maybe there's just weeks or months left. Whitfield, the hard part about that plot line, and they ended that as a bit of a cliffhanger there, Like, we know how that ends. Like, clearly, we're five seasons deep into Yellowstone now with Dutton's at the helm. Like, you know, if you want to bet on Don Whitfield here, I'm glad to take your money, but it's not looking good for the bad guys.
Where I feel like we bridged the gap here, and this is where my hot take about Spencer and Alex was going to come into play now, is that because clearly Alex has a ton of money, I think she, when they get back, eventually meet up in Bozeman, she pays Don Whitfield whatever that tax would be. Like, I think she takes care of it.
She just comes in writing checks right off the bat. I could see that, I guess. It's possible, but it seems like that would involve the British royalty a little bit more. Like,
okay,
there would be echoes of that maybe down the line and in future episodes. In modern day Yellowstone, we don't see any sort of echoes of royalty being involved.
Just rain on my parade over here.
Well, sorry.
It's okay. I'm going to get off the episode and just cry about it later.
How would you compare the evil Donald Whitfield to the evil Garrett Randall? Like, who is a worse human being?
Garrett, and I can say that confidently because because he's blood. He's blood related. Like, there's no, like, with Donald, there's no, like, ties to any family. So it's just pure evil. Where with Garrett, Jamie is his son. And the fact that it's, like, so sinister, so sick, that he's not only evil, but it's against his own son.
He was helping his son, though.
Yeah, like, but it was always to his own, like, it was always going to favor Garrett.
Oh, I think I think Don Whitfield is darker and more sinister. Like, there's a black hole in that heart where he just loves torturing people in as many different ways as he possibly can.
He's
a bad man.
I do agree with those statements.
Okay, so we all these characters seem set to return to season two. Whitfield, Banner, like, there was no major. Well, perhaps one major death. We don't know yet. Zane, the ranch hand, isn't looking too good. Although I don't know if he ends up dying or not. But everybody looks like, even Tiona seems like she's coming back for season two. There's a lot left in that storyline.
Do you want to fill people in on the Tiona scenes? Like, what is pretty much she?
Sure.
Well, go for it.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot that happened. And, you know, most of the action was last episode. This episode, she does meet up with her father and Pete Plentyclouds. Her and Pete start to kind of fall for one another. Creates a little bit of a humorous dynamic where the dad's trying to talk them out of it actively. And she kind of tells him, I don't know, she does what a teenage girl does, I guess. In kind of a way that makes sense within the plot of the show. But they're headed south. They're headed to Comanche land. And the priest, Father Renault, he is hired. The Marshal, who we saw kill Tiona's grandmother, his name is Marshal Kent. They've teamed up and they're going after him now. And they kind of figure out that Tiona and Runs with Horace and Pete are all headed to Comanche lands. So they decide they're going to take a train there and meet them there when they arrive. That'll all happen next season, probably early on. But a couple interesting things about that is, one, Tiona heading south puts her perhaps on the path of our buddy Sam from 1883, because he was Comanche and he'd be about 60 now, but maybe somehow those paths intersect.
Ooh, I like that.
Bit far-fetched, but possible. And then the second part of that is just a little trivia note that if you've watched Wednesday on Netflix,
okay,
the sheriff from Wednesday, as well as Detective Lankford from The Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. Did you watch that?
I have not seen either.
Madison, your and I's TV viewing, aside from these shows, really differs. It's the same character. The same grumpy detective in all three is the same guy. Jamie McShane is his name. Like, he has one role and he plays it. Like, this time he's on a horse, but it's the same dang guy. Like, anytime you need a grumpy law enforcement character, apparently you call up Jamie McShane.
And he's been stereotyped.
A little bit, but he's a good actor, and he does seem to, I don't know, I kind of almost think maybe at the end he's going to help Tiona. Because he doesn't seem all in on the Catholic cause.
I would also agree with that. Where they were sitting, where they were looking out at all the crosses, and pretty much the priest saying that a lot of people have died. A lot of kids.
Right, right. And he's, and they want to bury the priest, and he says, well, if your God makes you go through all that, then there must not be a heaven. Like, he's clearly not a man of God. So maybe that'll, in the end, help him, help Tiona. We shall see.
So I have a hot take regarding Pete and Tiona. I think that that scene where her father says, you know, we don't have time for love, I think it was put in there for a reason. And I think that obviously we see that they end up kissing. Like, she's pretty much telling her dad, I'm going to do what I want. But my hot take is I think she's going to end up being pregnant, and either on their journey, because clearly they still have a long way to Wyoming where they're trying to get to, and somehow, and I do admit that this idea, yes, has potential holes here, but I think either by the time they make it to Montana, she might be ready to give birth, whatever it ends up causing her to stay in Montana. She ends up settling in Montana, and that's where we get the Rainwater, the Thomas Rainwater lineage, was because she never actually ended up making it to Wyoming.
So I did a little research on Thomas Rainwater to try to track down his origin, because I remembered during the early seasons of Yellowstone, he wasn't like born and raised on the Broken Rock Reservation. He kind of came later. And what had happened was he grew up thinking he was Mexican. He never knew his real mother. And it was only when he became a teenager, maybe a little bit later, he learned he was indigenous. And that's when he kind of accepted his background and really embraced it and became this great leader of men and ultimately the chief of the tribe there. But I don't think that he lived in that area. I believe, if I remember right, he lived south or from other parts outside of Montana. So if that's true, then somehow Thomas gets kicked out of the reservation somehow. So my alternate theory is that through events to come, Tiona could possibly be Rainwater's grandmother. That's the possibility. Through events to come, like, they have to hide the baby and maybe hide the baby's family as she gets a little bit older, so they continue to avoid persecution from the Catholic Church for what Tiona did.
Oh, I like that idea.
Just a theory. I don't know. Long ways to go on that one. But my other theory is this, and I think this is kind of actually becoming more true. Like, we've long been expecting this intersection of plot lines between Tiona and the Duttons on the ranch, and I don't think we're ever going to get that. I think these are parallel plots that are just meant to show two different realities of early 19th century America and also inform us as we kind of get deeper and deeper into Yellowstone. I don't think that there will be this Jack Dutton Tiona scene or even Jacob Dutton and Tiona scene anytime soon. I think they'll stay on separate tracks throughout the course of the remainder of this series.
So is there anything else on the finale? I truly can't believe it's the finale, which is so different than 1883. I was applauding that we were on the finale, but is there anything else before I get to the Q&A that you might want to add?
Well, Brendan Sklenar did an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, and he doesn't offer a whole lot, but he does say he's not sure if Alex is pregnant, and he doesn't know if he's the father to the Dutton family line. And none of them seem to really have any idea what's coming next, which tells me they haven't started shooting. They haven't received scripts. So we are months, if not more, away from season two of 1923.
Well, we still got,
I don't know what show's coming next. Like, what show are we getting next from the Taylor Sheridan universe?
Maybe Four Sixes? I feel like we've teased that for so long that it's like, when? When, Taylor, when?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. It's been forever that we've been talking about that show. And I really don't know what's coming next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, on that note, should we dive into the Q&A?
Yeah, let's do it.
Alrighty, up first is Gina, who says, could Alex's family be connected to Whitfield in some way? Could be interesting.
Kind of fun to think about.
I mean, yeah, that's fun.
He's British,
but...
right?
I mean, yeah, but there's a lot of British people, like, okay.
I thought actually maybe what might be more interesting is if Arthur's family is connected to Whitfield in some way.
Now that would be interesting.
Yeah. That would add another layer of drama that we wouldn't see coming next season. I don't really have a hot take on that. I just thought it was an interesting thought that Gina had. And it's worth considering.
The next one is from Kristen, who says, listening to the most recent episode, I was struck by your comment that Taylor Sheridan has a vendetta against the Irish. I would disagree with that. Cara Dutton, to me, seems like she is the protagonist of the show, the heart and soul of the Duttons, plus she's a total badass. Is she Irish?
I think she's actually Scottish, but the point remains, and I made a little bit of a flippant comment when I was saying that. And upon further thought and a number of emails from people, there's some pretty clear examples where Taylor seems to have nothing against the Irish or the Scottish. I apologize. It was poorly researched and just kind of said in the course of conversation. So Kristen, I appreciate that. I think the Duttons in general are Irish and Scottish, according to the internet, the fan forums and stuff like that. have them penned as Irish and Scottish. So clearly, Taylor doesn't have anything against either.
The next one I have is from Kim, who says, I was so sad to hear you say that the deaths during the Tiona arc were Tiona's fault. They were the fault of the convent / school nuns and priests that tortured Tiona and then chose to chase and beat her again. Seems kind of disrespectful to blame her, as though she should have stayed at the Indian school and sacrificed herself instead of running from the evil. Would you apply that same logic if it was your child?
Ooh. Well, Kim's kind of piling on a little bit here. this was after Tiona first meets Hank, and she's clearly feeling a lot of guilt about the two deaths.
Mm-hmm.
She is kind of taking on that burden of guilt, right or wrong, at the time. I mean, she did physically kill them, so to the extent that's her fault legally or morally, I guess is worth the debate. But I'm team Tiona here. I don't think either of us are like thinking she should be back at the school or stay
no.
at the Indian school. I don't think they were her fault per se. She did what she had to do to get out of there. But I think I was more sort of personifying how Tiona seemed to be feeling in the moment during that case. And no, of course I wouldn't apply the same logic if it was my child, but it's really impossible for me to feel anything like that or imagine that.
Right. Well, and I mean, there's, and I say this word consequences, not in a negative term, but there's like, for something good that you do, there's a consequence, and for something bad, like there's an effect, a cause and effect. And, you know, with her killing the two nuns, there was going to be this result of they were going to come after her. I'm not saying that, you know, that was not merited, that was not valid of why she killed them, but it's like the reality of, like, there was going to be an effect of what happened.
Yeah, 100%.
The last one I have for us is from Michelle, who says, the eating of the heart is reminiscent of Elsa eating the bison heart, which I like that parallel. I like that one.
Except,
oh no,
that Elsa from 1883, she hunted the bison and she was eating the heart as a kind of a way of making use of all of its powers, and, you know, kind of, it was out of respect for the animal, I feel mm-hmm. like. And the eating of the heart was not out of respect of the priest. So that's kind of where they differentiate. So yeah, it was the same act, but I think the intentions were much, much different. And I didn't get any explanation as to the tradition behind the eating of the soul that Atieno's father talks about before he eats the priest's heart. But we did see it again this last episode. Like, yeah, they show him again, and there he is with his chest ripped open as if we didn't get it fully the first time. Yeah. Oh, I love
BRB.
A little bit. A little bit.
Once again, staff@tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave comments, your thoughts on, 1923. And as always, we so appreciate it if you're listening on Apple Podcasts to write a review and rating. That helps us know kind of how we're doing and what y'all are liking and not liking. And it's been fun. I can't believe 1923 is over.
I'd like to get Sterling back on for next Monday and do a
grading.
A rating 1923. I think that's where we're headed next. If Sterling's not available, just Addison and I will kind of put our grades on it. I'll save my thoughts overall, I guess, but
until next episode.
Some degree of mixed feelings, I suppose.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to unpack that, not now. As always, the Denton Rules 1923 and Yellowstone Podcast is another juicy Townsquare Media podcast.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save